Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Born to Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcia Witeka. Conversations plus connections equals community. Those are my three C's. The heart of my show is, what's your story? It's my belief we all have stories. Some are similar, others are uniquely different. Storytelling brings the passions of my guests to life through our conversations. So be prepared to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Welcome to today's show. Hello, everybody. I am particularly excited about this show today. My guest is Gabrielle Amster. She's the director of the Wallace Annenberg Pet Space. Welcome to the show, Gabrielle.
Hello, Marcia. Thank you so much for having me. It's very exciting to have a chance to talk about Annenberg Pet Space.
Well, you bet. And I just have to interject this right now because it's personal for me, because I adopted Miss Kitty from you in February of 21, and today she is 10 years old. The irony of it is just amazing to me. I just had to say that. All right, so let's talk about you. Tell us about yourself. Let's get to know you a little bit.
Well, okay, but first I have to thank you, Marcia, for adopting. Adoption is so important, and I'm so glad that you have a family member that came straight from Pet Space. And you probably don't remember this, but years ago when you and I first met, I think you might have had sneakers with a picture of some Converse sneakers. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So I will always remember that.
That's funny.
Question, as far as kind of what brought me into this industry, like many of us in the animal welfare industry, a love and appreciation of animals is what prompted me to enter the profession. I grew up in a rural environment and I volunteered after school. I think what was then would have been called the pound. Of course, we're now more familiar with the term animal rescue, et cetera. And that was really a launch point for me. But I did not know until well into adulthood that animal welfare is a profession. It's a discipline even. So once I came to that realization, I did everything I could to enter the field. And I started out on the development and fundraising side at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter in New Mexico 18 years ago. And I'm so very happy now to be leading the team at Annenberg Pet Space.
Isn't it great? And I know for people, we're going to talk about this because I want you to let people know, you know, where you're located, because you happen to almost be in my backyard. So tell us about Wallace Annenberg. And before you do, let me just tell those of you that are listening, you probably are familiar with the last name of Annenberg, but I just want to be able to let people know that you have an outstanding website. So if you go to Annenberg, it's Annenbergpetspace.org. Annenberg Pet Space, you will see their magnificent website. Okay, so tell us about Annenberg.
Thank you, Marcia. Yeah, the website is a great place to go to find out all kinds of information, stuff that's going on at Pet Space, what our priorities are, our role in the community, that kind of thing. But Pet Space did open to the public in 2017. And we facilitate pet adoptions. We have a lot of community events. We offer learning opportunities. And I know we'll get into some of those details later. And, of course, our focus is the mutually beneficial and dynamic bond between people and pets.
Yes. You're located, just for those that are local, because obviously if you live in Wisconsin, you're not going to stop by to get a pet. But you are located in Playa Vista, which is a basically kind of a new community in this area, which, like I said, is not far from my home. And it's a magnificent physical location. I tell people all the time, have you ever been inside there? Just the physicality of it is just spectacular. So let's dive into this. So we know it was established in 2017. And when did you become the director there?
I have been at Pet Space now for a little over 3 years.
Okay. Very good.
And if, you know, we're coming along, it's almost like we're kind of reaching the tail end of being a startup in certain ways. And you're right, our facility is really exquisite. I would define us as a state-of-the-art shelter. I think in the future we have finally figured out a way to manage pet overpopulation. You know, hopefully that will be the time when shelters like PetSpace are what a shelter is. So that's kind of, I think, one of the purposes we serve is what a shelter can be. And if you come visit, you'll see that we really are a beautiful facility, and the suites and the housing that our animals function in and are cared for in is best practices and, you know, an industry standard.
You bet. So where do your animals come from?
All of our animals, and a lot of people don't necessarily know this, come from city and county shelters, from Los Angeles city and county shelters primarily, and of course occasionally from Riverside, Orange County, San Bernardino, and other nearby jurisdictions. I mean, on a regular basis, we transfer in animals from those areas, and of course we do our best to respond to emergencies. You know, like recently there were some fires, and we pulled 30 animals in one day from one of our partners who was taking in a lot of pets from those people who are being evacuated in their community. So that's how pets come to PetSpace.
That's interesting. And they're all ages, aren't they?
All ages, sizes, breeds. Yeah, we have diverse here at PetSpace. You can find a Chihuahua, you can find a pit bull, you can find a cute little fluffy mixed breed puppies. We got them all, really.
You do. Same with the cats. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I was just watching this cat playing in the location yesterday when I was visiting. So why was this so important to the philanthropist Wallace Annenberg to start this?
It's a good question. PetSpace is really an extension of Wallace Annenberg philanthropy. She supports, as you know, and probably your listeners know, many important causes and programs really globally. But Los Angeles in particular is very near and dear to Wallace's heart, and animals especially are an ongoing initiative for Wallace. She believes that by leveraging every opportunity to advance the human-animal bond and instill the love and respect for animals and elevate animals, really, by convening thought leaders around the topic, we can make the world a better place for animals in both the short and the long term.
And I would just say, I mean, I know that for those that are local, I tell people all the time, because I walk by your Annenberg Pet Space every day when I take my walk every day, and I tell people, especially if I see people with children, but even if they're not, I say, have you ever been in to Annenberg? And it's like, no. I said, oh, my goodness. Honestly, even if you decided you didn't want to adopt anything, just going in there and getting a sense of what you do there, your welcoming, your artwork, just everything about it is just so dynamic. And you mentioned that pet adoption is one of her priorities. Tell us why adoption matters.
You know, adoption has always been kind of an essential part of a healthy community for animals. Really, homeless pets have been a product, or maybe I should say byproduct, of our society since our country was established. I mean, since the very early days of being a country, we have had pets that are roaming or abandoned. And homeless animal populations on a kind of a national level have varied over the years. There have been times of crisis and times where we're sort of finding ways to manage pet overpopulation and treat animals with, you know, the most humane care possible. But right now we're really at, I would define it as an unfortunate place in our industry. We have very high stray intakes and owner surrenders at shelters all across the country. And you know that things like spay and neuter and community programs that can help people keep their pets in their homes, things like affordable veterinary care, which is very expensive for any pet owner, pet-friendly housing opportunities, et cetera. These are all really important components to addressing pet overpopulation and the number of animals that are living basically in shelters right now, but also one of the key components to saving lives and moving animals out of sheltering situations is adoption. And adoption also reduces euthanasia rates for animals nationwide.
Right. And there are a lot of shelters. And, you know, we're not unique in the homeless population. And you do see a lot of people that do have animals with them, and they can really barely take care of themselves, let alone their pets. And I know it probably brings them comfort, but at the same token, it isn't necessarily the best thing for these animals, whether they're dogs or cats. And I know you adopt out dogs and cats, but there are other animals that you also have that are available for adoption as well, don't you?
Yes, and to your point just a moment ago, Marcia, you're right. It is difficult to know that people who are struggling to make ends meet are also mm-hmm. struggling to care for their animals. But just one note to that quickly, and you've had this experience yourself with how much you love your cat and what a difference your cat makes in your life and what you mm-hmm. feel when you wake up every day and, you know, interact with her. And it's the same for every pet owner who cherishes their animal. You know, there are too many animals that are homeless right now for us to assume that they should only be living in homes where people have all the resources possible to care for them. You know, people without resources and who are struggling economically often have pets that are essential to their families and essential to the children in those families. And so, you know, we want to find ways for everybody to be able to adopt. And part of that is us as a community finding ways for people who don't have as much resources but do need to provide care for their pets, whether it's food or, like we talked about earlier, veterinary care, those sorts of things. And housing. It's very difficult in Los Angeles to find affordable housing that accepts pets.
Yes.
So those are kind of big picture topics that we're trying to address in the industry, knowing that unless every person who can love a pet can adopt one, whether they can afford to care for it in the way that we see as the most ideal way or not, we want to support their ability to do so, so that animals mm-hmm. aren't in shelters. And also, you're right, that goes for all different kinds of animals, because here at Pet Space, we have all the things you would expect in an animal shelter. We have puppies, adult dogs of all ages and sizes, kittens and cats. And we also adopt out guinea pigs, which not everybody knows. And guinea pigs
yes.
are found in most animal shelters and often, surprisingly, in much larger quantities that is necessarily manageable from a care perspective. And guinea pigs are really fantastic pets also.
You know, when I was there the other day, I also noticed that you had a turtle. And I think you also had a snake. Am I right? Where your critters are?
Those animals are wonderful. We actually also have a lizard. We have a few. I think we have a hamster. Sometimes, you know, it alternates a hamster, a little mouse. But we do have a hamster right now. And those particular animals are not adoptable, although several of them do come from but they are part of our youth education, our humane education program. And so we let children who come to Pet Space get a chance to interact with a variety of animals and also learn about animals that can be found in shelters, which the ones you just listed, hamsters, guinea pigs, snakes, turtles, all different types of lizards, actually can be found in your local animal shelter.
What about birds?
Birds, too. There are lots of birds in shelter. In fact, Pet Space had birds at one time, and had two, and over time they passed away just from typical things that, you know, birds die of old age. We miss them, and at some point hopefully mm-hmm. we'll replace. But birds also need a lot of love and company and interaction with humans, and so they're a great pet as well.
Right, and I feel like, because like I said, this was a while ago, I feel like there were parrots there. Am I wrong about that? Do I have that confused with something else?
We had cockatiels. I believe we had two cockatiels.
That's what it was. It's so pleasant to be able to walk around. And, you know, thank you for clarifying, because I didn't realize that the critter section, as you call it, they're not adoptable. They're just there for, I mean, you have schools and all kinds of people, I would presume, that come for field trips and visit you. Am I wrong about that? Or does that happen sometimes?
Right. We have schools that come to field trips. We have Girl Scout and Boy Scout troops. All different Scout troops come. So we have a lot. We even have, believe it or not, we even have international college groups that come to learn about grooming and come to learn just about animal sheltering and animal housing.
Nice.
A lot going on at Pet Space around animal industry training and education.
Well, and you also have, like you mentioned, grooming. I was walking, you know, on Bluff Creek Drive the other day, and this woman was going to pick up her dog because the dog was being groomed by you guys. So, I mean, you provide a tremendous amount of services as well. So it's amazing. I just love it. So for people that are listening and would like to know more about the process, what is the actual process for adoption?
I'll tell you a little bit about that, but I do want to touch on just one thing that you mentioned earlier as far as grooming. We are so lucky partnering with the West Coast Grooming Academy. So we have this beautiful here at Pet Space. We actually have two of them because, as you know, grooming is so important to the health of an animal. And West Coast Grooming Academy actually teaches grooming to different cohorts throughout the year. And the students at West Coast Grooming, which is located here at Pet Space, one of their classrooms is here, are the ones who groom the pets of the public and our own pets, of course, too, which is an incredible gift to us that they get to, they groom all the shelter pets as needed here at Pet Space. I myself have had my dogs groomed by West Coast Grooming Academy students, and they do an amazing job, and it's very affordable. So do look that up. If you're looking for a local groomer nearby, they're a really good option.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's great. And it's a wonderful opportunity for people, a skill set for people in this industry to learn. If you're interested in being in animal welfare and grooming is interesting to you, it's a great way to make a living and be involved in the industry.
Wow. I'm learning all kinds of things about what you offer. It's almost like an academy. It's just phenomenal. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as well. So if somebody's listening, they've dropped in, they're walking around, they see this, you know, I happen to have a really good friend that works with Angel City Pit Bulls, and we know that Pit Bulls has, you know, a reputation, and a lot of times people are very worried about adopting a pit bull or some what they would consider to be an aggressive dog. But I don't think you don't let me ask you, I don't know the answer to this. Are there some dog breeds that you would not bring into Pet Space?
No, there aren't any specific breeds that we would not bring into Pet Space. And real quick, a shout out to Angel City Pits because they're an amazing organization. And
yes, they are.
They do. We bring all different breeds into Pet Space. We know we try really hard to make sure that the animals that we bring in are diverse, and that we are not bringing in, when we transfer from our partner shelters, one of our objectives is to lighten the load for them and to make sure that we have animals from them that, you know, need to be given another opportunity. And that means they're all different kinds of animals. And we have what I would describe as an open adoption process. One of Wallace's priorities and something that is actually considered a best practice is an open and barrier-free adoption process. So we do not have a formal adoption application. Instead, we engage in a proactive conversation with potential adopters. And, you know, obviously we do our very, very best to find an adoption match that's a good fit for them and the pet. That is a priority. But we also trust that people kind of know what they're looking for and know what they want. And we're facilitate that because there's really too many animals in shelters right now for us to be keeping animals from people who are capable of giving them a good life. And so that is one of our priorities, and again, one of Wallace's priorities as well.
So somebody comes in, they see that kitten, they see that cat, they see that dog, and they say, oh man, you know, so do they get to pet it, talk to it? How do they interact with those animals and when they're considering adopting them?
They absolutely do get to interact whether it's a cat, dog, puppy, whatever it may be. And it depends. Like if it's a cat, they'll go into the room where the cats live. to know that cat or kitten, spend time with it, decide if that's the right cat or kitten for them. And with dogs, we'll usually take someone with the dog, or well, in this case, it would be dog, would be going out into our Barks and Rec area to get to know the dog a little, kind of outside the quote-unquote shelter setting. And if they have their own already in the home, which many people do. I mean, many, many people have pets and are looking for another pet, a friend for their pet. Then, you know, we encourage them to bring their pet with them for that meet and greet to make sure that their existing pet and the pet they're interested in adopting have the potential to be a good match for one another. So that's something that we really try to encourage. But, of course, it's not required.
Right. Do you find that that's – I mean, I that's really interesting. I hadn't really thought about that, that, you know, somebody would – or maybe they have a senior pet, you know, and they're looking to bring another pet in. And, you know, people have children. There's all, you know, there's all different family lifestyles. So it's interesting that somebody would, you know, want to come in and say, you know, we've already got Bobby here, who's the boxer, and we're thinking about getting another dog. And so they come in and they look, and your website is fabulous. I mean, I really do recommend that people go to the website because it really is great. So there is this process that they go through, but it, like you said, it's an open adoption, and I think that that's terrific. So, so where do they actually come from? Do they come from the local shelters?
Yes, animals come from city and county shelters, and some beyond counties, but you know, LA primarily. And these are all animals that either, you know, we'll go and we'll visit our partner shelters, see what their needs are, find out which animals they need help with, which animals will work best for Pet Safe. Because one of the things that is a little misleading about Pet Safe, because it really is a beautiful facility and the environment that the animals are in is aesthetically beautiful, but the truth is, Marcia, it's still a shelter. And the animals are still in a room, you know, and they are in that room for a large percentage of the day, just like they would be at another shelter. Do they receive really good medical care? Absolutely. Does our staff take as much time as possible with each of those individual animals to make sure they have enrichment and exercise and all those things? Definitely. That is something that we prioritize. But ultimately, the animals in our care, just like in any animal sheltering facility, really what they need is a home. That's where they're the happiest. Nothing compares to being in a home with the person, people, or family that can give them the love that they need.
Right. I see oftentimes your staff walking animals around the area. And so why do you think it's important for people to adopt as opposed to shop?
Well, I mean, in addition to what we talked about earlier, kind of the impact of pet overpopulation on communities and animals, we also know that only about 30% of people looking for a pet realize or choose to find one at an animal shelter, which means that 70% of people are getting their pets elsewhere. And we're not exactly sure why this is happening right now when adoption is such an essential part of saving animals' lives. But we do think that maybe people just don't realize that pets in shelters often make really, really remarkable pets. They are all unique, different. There's all different ages and sizes and breeds. And like I said earlier, what they need most is a home. But something that people also may not realize is that most shelters, including PetSafe, provide pets that are spayed and neutered, they are microchipped, and they are vaccinated. And all of those are actually costly procedures that a new owner will not have to worry about upon adoption. And most animal shelters and rescues and also pet safes are really quite affordable. You know, our adoption fees range between $125 and $200 regardless of the pet. And that's you know, quite a bit more affordable than you would probably pay for a breeder or a pet, you know, that you would find online, et cetera.
Well, and you know, talking about shopping, I mean, you can't go, you know, there's animal parks right where, in the area where you're located, and, you know, it's one doodle after another, after another, after another, and undoubtedly they haven't been adopted, they've been purchased, and, you know, I'm not going to, you know, criticize that, but you do see a lot of those doodles these days of all different kinds. And the sad thing is, and just like what you had mentioned, you know, there's these wonderful dogs that are just waiting to come into your home and love you and be loved by you. And that's the whole point, right? I mean, that at least that's what I see as the point personally. But,
that's,
you know, it's just...
I agree with you 100%. That really is
yes.
the point, saying it so astutely.
Right. So when what are some of the things that visitors can see and do at Pet Space?
Well, of course, we are a destination for adoption. We have some fantastic youth programming, including a series of winter and summer break camps. In fact, last year we piloted our first ever animal careers camp, which explores all the various professions one can go into if they wish to work with animals. And we will be holding several sessions of that camp this summer as well.
Lovely. Let me ask you about that. So that'll be coming up this summer. How do you get that information out to the schools, the local schools?
Well, we put this up on our website.
Yes.
Summer camps is there. We usually talk about it in social media, and we'll send this information out through e-blast to all the people that are kind of part of our newsletter and that kind of thing.
Oh, that's great. That's great, because there are a lot of schools in the area. And,
there are.
And that's terrific. And I think I knew that, and I had forgotten that. So that's terrific. You also have something called a Leadership Institute that you host. I'd like to hear a little bit more about the process of that, because it's not every – will you tell me rather than me tell you? How does that work?
Sure. We do have a Leadership Institute. I think it's one of the most interesting things about Wallace's vision for Pet Space. Kind of, this is the very beginning. I think Wallace understood that convening leaders around the human-animal bond is really essential to the work that we do and that everyone in the industry does. So every 2 years, we do just that. We convene academic, and moving forward, it will also be practitioner thought leaders. So yes, the brilliant minds that are educated and educate around the human-animal bond, but also those boots on the ground practitioners who are working in shelters and experts in their field at kind of figuring out solutions to some of the most important challenges in the industry. So we convene these thought leaders around the human-animal bond and also some of the challenges. And, you know, this group of experts kind of come together to solve relevant issues facing animals and animal caretakers. Last year we focused on feline behavior. Actually, it was 2023. That cohort of academics is still kind of plugging away at a few initiatives that they worked on and will be finishing up over the next month or two. And I'm not exactly sure what our 2025 topic is yet, because 2025 is our next leadership year, Leadership Institute
okay.
year. Probably by, I would say, end of year, early January, we will be starting to talk about what that next Leadership Institute will be focused on.
And what is the age of those folks that would be being part of the institute? Are they school, out of school?
They're all ages, and it's usually about between 10 and 12 academics/practitioners, depending. I think this coming year we'll probably do maybe like a 50-50 split. And these are all either, you know, most of them are. Well, so large, it's actually a pretty good range of academics that will be convening, but all of them have some level of either expertise or advanced study in whatever our particular subject matter is or will be when that Leadership Institute convenes in the coming year.
So they're out of high school. They're not children. These are adults.
Right. The Leadership Institute are usually PhD, doctorates. They're very high-level academics.
Got it. Okay.
That have spent, you know, a good chunk of time working on human-animal bond initiatives, usually at the universities they teach at or, you know, on the books that they author, that sort of thing.
And what's their focus? I mean, when they get together, what is their purpose?
you know, it's actually really interesting. Since I've only been here 3 years, I've only been able to sort of participate as an observer because I am not an academic, and kind of how the Leadership Institute works. But basically the academics come together, again, between 10 and 12 of them, and spend mm-hmm. couple days between Annenberg Pet Space, maybe the Annenberg Beach House, wherever the convening is planned. And whatever the topic is, they spend a day or two really discussing how that different ways that that topic can be addressed, how the issues can be solved. And sometimes, depending on the institute, kind of the goal is to finish up the Leadership Institute with some white papers that they author. And this past year in our Feline Leadership Institute, the academics actually have worked together to come up with some tools around feline behavior. One is an online tool. The other is some kind of more handout type tools that will be available to shelters all across the country about how to guide adopters to improve the lives of cats in their care and to educate the public around cats and cat behavior. So that one's just kind of finishing up, but that's how the process, pretty much how the process works.
Well, I have to tell you, as we're sitting here having this conversation, which is just so lovely, and I'm looking at my monitor and I'm speaking to you on the phone, my cat is laying on my closed laptop, and if I probably put the phone really close to her face, you could probably hear her snoring. She's quite content. She just took a deep breath like, oh, God, she's talking about me again. But, you know, it's just, you know, she's just my sweet little baby girl, you know. And her, you know, when I adopted her and her name came to me as Miss Kitty, I don't call her Miss Kitty. That is her adopted name. I really basically call her baby. Come on, baby. You know, that's what I say. And she is an indoor cat. You know, and she's not my first cat. I had male cats before. They were basically outdoor, indoor cats. I was not accustomed to having a litter box. You know, I've had to learn about diets and litter box and water and all of those things that keep your cat healthy. But I know that I could always reach out to you as well to ask those kinds of questions. And speaking about that, let's talk about your community outreach. Tell us about that.
Sure, and actually I just do want to touch on what you just said because it's a really good point, Marcia. You know, not everybody is prepared to have a pet. And it doesn't mean that they don't want to. They just not, you know, things change over the years. We learn more and more about what keeps a pet happy and what their needs are. Like mm-hmm. you said earlier, you had pets that kind of came and went from your house, as many of us have. And only more recently have you decided to have an indoor cat only, and that took, you know, some, you had to figure stuff out. What does that mean for you? How do you have a litter box? What kinds of things do you need to do to make sure that you can keep your cat indoors and keep your cat safe in a way that it works for you? And
Correct.
Pet Space is about supporting pet owners' needs in this area. When we adopt out pets, we are very available to adopters who have questions or needs around that pet's care, following up, you know, taking that pet home. Also, we have often had, we have host puppy and adult dog training classes at Pet Space, and we are about to launch our first of this year's puppy classes in December. I don't have the exact dates in my head right now, but I know it's on our website. And what's really cool about that is that if you've adopted a puppy from Pet Space, you can get a reduced fee. And the puppy classes, first of all, they're very affordable anyways, because that's a commitment of Wallace and Wallace Annenberg Pet Space, is that the things that we do, whether it's an event or an adoption or a training class, we try to keep everything affordable for our community and pet owners that want to interact with Pet Space. So that is something that we offer, and I'm glad that you kind of touched on the fact that people sometimes need support with their animal, and that's okay. You know, pet ownership is always easy. It's wonderful, and it makes us all so happy to have a pet, but it can be stressful when you're trying to figure out the best way to navigate, you know, a challenge with your pet.
Especially I live alone, but you talking about people that have children and their behavior and, you know, all of those things, they play a part in this as well, don't they?
That's a very good point. Yes, you have to consider, you know, how is your child interacting with your pet? What if your pet's barking and your neighbor is complaining and you worry about, you know, your neighbor being disgruntled about your pet? Or what if your dog's pulling on a leash and you're struggling to walk that dog, but you know you really need to do that because you live in an apartment? And, you know, all those things, it having a challenge with a pet should never feel, no one should ever feel embarrassed about that or feel like there aren't reasons. Because it's just like raising a child or anything else. You have to learn along the way sometimes, and we want to be here for our community. So that is something that's very important.
On your website, so I don't know if maybe this is something different. I don't want to challenge you on this, but it says that the Pet Space Canine Training Academy Puppy 101 is actually going to begin this Thursday the 14th. Is that something different than what you were referring to?
No, that's exactly it. I'm so glad that you found that. That's exactly it. It is starting up very soon. I don't know how many participants we have yet. And if it's still up there, that's not sold out yet. So, you know, yes, if anyone listening is interested in getting a training class for their puppy, which is so important, you know, at this
point, yes.
It's a great time to start working with your dog when your dog is a puppy and start to get that puppy / dog acclimated to some of the behaviors that are going to make their life with you and your life with them perhaps easier to manage. There's a link, I think, on the website there where you can register for the class.
Right, there is. But I got to tell you, right next to it, puppy yoga. You have puppy yoga at Annenberg. What is that?
Well,
oh, my God.
Time to time where when we have a litter of puppies, you know, and I think right now we have two litters of puppies, either on site or in, we love when they get to a certain age before they get to be too mouthy. We love for people and puppies to be able to have time together. And it's fantastic for the humans who are doing the yoga, you know, relaxing and being in a nice warm room together. But to be honest, it's actually a really tremendous service for our puppies as well, because at that age, they need socialization. They need to learn that people, strangers, are good and can be trusted, and to be able to be handled by lots of different people in a safe environment. So, yeah, occasionally we'll do a puppy yoga class when you have puppies around.
Well, I got it. Okay, so I am making this personal because, frankly, it is. So I take an online yoga class every Tuesday, and I lay my mat out in my family room on the floor, and I get myself positioned. And who thinks that she should be a part of this? Hello? Of course. I don't know if it's the voice she's hearing from the instructor that's comforting, probably not mine. And sometimes she will literally either lay on my mat and says, hello, could you step aside because I got to lay on the mat myself. Sometimes in bed she will just, nothing makes her happier than to lay on top of me. I try and get myself under the covers so that, you know, there's cat hair everywhere. You just have to accept that. It's part of being a cat mommy. And so I just have a roller brush and I just deal with it. But, you know, it's, they just, I don't know. This cat just brings me so much joy, and this would not have happened if it wasn't for Annenberg. It just wouldn't have happened. So, I know I keep going back and forth about my personal experience, but I can speak to a personal experience when it's regarding my cat, as I'm looking at her right now with a, looks like a smile on her face while she's sound asleep. Okay. So, as far as special events, I don't know if the yoga is considered a special event, but do you have special events and programs there?
We do. We have a few different kinds of programs. We do have our community outreach programs, and an example of that would be a partnership that we have with Michelson Found Animals, which is when Michelson does their community vaccine clinics, their wellness and vaccine clinics, we will sometimes partner with them to offer no-cost wellness exams and vaccines to whichever community they're doing them in at any given time. And we have begun to partner with Stray Cat Alliance to provide spay and neuter or some community cats for them. So we're really trying to find ways to engage with our partners and support them any way that we can. We have a really wonderful veterinary facility here at Annenberg Pet Space, and we want to make sure that we're using it to its full potential and not just caring for our animals that are on site, but also for the animals that our partners need help with. So that's something that we do that's kind of an event. It's a different kind of event, but mm-hmm. we also events and programs here at Pet Space. One is what you just alluded to, the puppy yoga, certainly something that we do from time to time that on our website. We have pet-friendly comedy shows also on our website. I should be plugging that, but I don't know the dates, but it is on our
okay.
Website. Generally, those comedy shows sell out. They uh-huh. sell out at about 20 guests. Sometimes we'll have
okay.
up to 50 dogs that attend with their owners. Usually there's a really good and some great comedians. And then we actually just this past weekend had our inaugural Dia de los Muertos event.
Yes.
It was so amazing. We had such an incredible time. We had mariachis. We had amazing food. And I think what was most mind-blowing was that we had a community ofrenda for guests to honor their beloved deceased pets. And people just, we actually moved the ofrenda inside of Pet Space. It can be seen down in our downstairs lobby. It is just packed full. Maybe we can find
yep.
a way to get a picture up on the website later, but definitely look on our social media. We should have a reel up by Wednesday that will show pictures and images and maybe even, you know, video from that amazing event. People were so moved by having a place to honor the pets that have
mm-hmm.
meant so much to them and impacted their lives. So that's the type of yeah. event that we have in Pet Space along with other events.
That's nice. So can you tell us a bit more about the issues that are facing the animal welfare field and your work with the animal welfare professionals?
Yes, and I mean, we have spoken a few times about, you know, obviously pet overpopulation, and
mm-hmm.
right now some things that I think are contributing to that, and probably other people in the field would agree, that access to spay and neuter is incredibly important, but right now we do have a veterinary shortage. Enough vets is really impacting our ability as an industry, not only to provide, you know, just basic care for pets, but also to provide these spay-neuter surgeries. Initially, we weren't quite sure what was causing this veterinary shortage. Was it people just not wanting to go to vet school? Was it that veterinarians couldn't afford the astronomical costs of vet school, the student loans that they're going to have to pay off years after graduating? I mean, those are certainly potentially all factors. But what we're kind of figuring out is that, you know, the pet industry is huge. People want pets. Pets play very important roles in the lives of people, and most people have them. In fact, I think around 70% of people in a community have pets, and something upwards of 90% of those people consider them family members. So what we're finding is that there aren't enough slots in veterinary schools for all the people who want to become veterinarians. So for every 1,000 applicants that applies to veterinary school, and I actually don't know this data for sure. I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but for
sure.
around every applicants to vet school, maybe there's between 40 and 70 spots, you know, every year for those people to get into vet school. So we're trying to figure it out, but definitely one of the biggest challenges in the animal industry right now, or animal welfare industry, is access to care and having enough vets. I also think that overall animal welfare professionals, those who lead shelters and run animal organizations, are often misunderstood. Many professionals in this field not only care deeply, but they're extremely committed and they're very smart and they're effective, and they're all doing their very best to solve what seems like an insurmountable problem, and they're dealing with life-saving work every day. So I think, you know, I'd love if our community kind of came to the realization that they need to really learn more about what's happening in shelters in a positive way and be there to support shelter leaders and shelters, because, you know, the welfare of animals is really all of our responsibility as a community.
I agree. That's interesting. You know, I was just speaking to friends of mine that the son is really considering, he's just graduating high school, but he's considering the possibility of, you know, going into the animal field, and maybe it isn't going to be a veterinarian, maybe it'll be something else, but if you have a real love for animals, you know, there's probably lots of different kinds of things that you could do to make yourself and that animal just really happy. Even like we have a mutual friend, Chris, that we both know, and she walks dogs in Palm Springs just because she has a pit bull, I can't remember now, but she walks dogs to just help. And if when people have some extra time on their hands, do you take volunteers that would come over and walk dogs, or is that not a possibility at Annenberg?
You know, it's funny that you brought up Chris, because she is an example of someone who has really committed a huge chunk of her time and her energy,
yes,
to helping her local shelter. When I was at Palm Springs, which is the shelter that I led before coming to Annenberg, she was a very key volunteer, and she's such a great example of someone who sacrifices and gives of their time and energy and resources to really literally save lives and to make sure that, in her case, dogs in the shelter are given the opportunity to be treated like they deserve to be treated, given love, given walks, given enrichment, that each of them are treated as individuals. And she is really quite a remarkable human being in her commitment to that. And she's one of, thousands and thousands of people all over our city and our local cities who do volunteer at animal shelters and are so necessary and so essential to the work that's being done in those organizations. And these are people who do this for no compensation, some every single day, and are just so committed. There's no way really to express, how important volunteers are to animal shelters and animal organizations. At Pet Space, we have a smaller volume of animals, but we are also beginning to realize that if we want to save more lives, we have to have more of a volunteer base, because we do have a limited number of people that can work in our facility. So starting in 2025, we're really going to start enhancing and growing our volunteer program. We haven't had someone to lead that effort up until now, but we think in the coming year, we're really going to be able to build that program, and we're looking forward to that. And we'll need people to do all kinds of things here at Pet Space to help with our animals.
I think that, look at your there's a university right above where you're located. Loyola Marymount is right there between Loyola Marymount and the local schools. I would think there'd be tons of people that would love to volunteer. But you have something I wanted to ask you about, and that's called the Extraordinary Care Fund. What is that? What is that all about?
The Extraordinary Care Fund is really focused on animals in our partner shelters who are on euthanasia lists because of treatable medical conditions. Some of our shelters have a lot of access to veterinary care and have very robust veterinary programs, but not all of them. And many also are dealing with such a high quantity of animals that they have to make really tough decisions about what to do in those situations to free up space. And so we've kind of committed to bringing in a certain percentage of our animals that need advanced medical care. So the Extraordinary Care Fund is a fundraising effort. It's a passive fundraising. Some percentages of our events, some percentages of the sales in our store, and all of our direct donations go to support programs like the Extraordinary Care Fund, which some of the animals that come in are able to be treated right here in Pet Space. Some of them need, specialists and other more advanced care that we provide. And that's pretty much what the Extraordinary Care Fund is focused on.
That's nice. And there is a donate button on your website for people that are interested in donating. So I think people should know that. So if somebody's listening right now and they would like to get involved, how would they go about getting involved with you?
I mean, of course, as I said earlier, we are going to be ramping up that volunteer program in the coming year. So please keep your eye out for that on our website, social media. One of the other ways you can help is really engage with your own community shelter. Like if you do not live in the Playa Vista area and you don't want to stay kind of local, and wherever you do live, reach out to your local shelter and find out what their needs are. if they have volunteer opportunities. We also, just like our partners, are in need of fosters. We send out, from any given time, we have between 20 and 60 animals in our foster program. And this could be neonate kittens. This could be puppies who came in without a mother. It could be dogs or cats who are being treated for an extraordinary medical need that needs some foster for a little while. I think there's a reel on our Instagram about a little dog we brought in named Peony, who came in and needed to be fostered because she was undergoing quite a bit of medical care. And I saw her today, and she'd come back from foster, and being in a foster home just completely transformed her. She looks amazing. She's almost ready for adoption now. So definitely reach out to PetSpace if you are interested in becoming a foster parent. We are in need of those, just like all shelters are, and we really appreciate people who are prepared to give up a little bit of the space in their home and a little bit of their time to help a pet that's almost ready for adoption but just not quite yet.
Right. So people can foster as well as adopt. There's options there for what they can do associated with you guys.
Yes, there is. And we have some fosters who, have never once foster failed. Not that we're against foster fails, but we do have some fosters, a couple that I've come to mind, who have just repeatedly taken in, whether it's kittens or puppies, and cared for them for weeks, days, weeks, and sometimes even, over a month, preparing them for adoption, then brought us back to our facility when they're ready to go. One of the things that people may not realize is that all animal shelters, even one like Annenberg Pet Space that, has such an amazing facility, they're stressful for animals. And when animals get stressed, their immune systems are compromised. So when vulnerable animals stay in a sheltering environment, they're likely to get sicker, and that's costly, and it also means that the animal may stay longer in that facility and may not be available for adoption for a longer period of time until they can be, rehabilitated or until their health condition is treated. And so going into foster, especially for puppies and kittens, is one really important way for them to stay healthy until they're ready for adoption.
Yeah. It's funny because you've used the word shelter and Annenberg in the same sentence. I don't think of you guys as a shelter. I don't know why. But you are. I mean, I know you're a nonprofit. I didn't realize that Annenberg would be. I'm putting quotes around that word that you're a shelter as well. Is there a definition of what a shelter is?
That's a really good question. I think there's so many different definitions of what a shelter is. There are municipal shelters like our city and our county shelters, that are housing facilities for animals, but also those organizations are run and staffed by incredible people who are working really, really hard to make sure that the animals in their care are treated kindly and fairly and have access to all the things that they need. And then there's more private shelters like ours, which have a different kind of access to resources, and we're able to do a different kind of care. And, we are a limited admission, which means that we are not required. In fact, we don't take in stray or owner-surrendered pets. We go to our shelters and choose the pets that come into our facility. And many of partners do not have that luxury because they have their open admission shelters, which means they're required to take in all of the animals that are stray and homeless in their jurisdiction. So there's lots of definitions of shelter. Some animal organizations are run by a nonprofit, but they have a contract with, a city or municipal, an animal sheltering contract on animal control. So there's a few different definitions of a shelter, but I do realize that a lot of people don't necessarily see us as a shelter per se, and maybe we're more of a rescue or maybe we're kind of a hybrid. I think it's hard to say exactly.
Right, that's interesting. So we know that there's a lot of homeless animals, and you're doing the best that you can to help alleviate the burden of that. Is there anything that you think that people can do to help you in that process?
I mean, again, it comes back to adopting. The more we can move animals out of Annenberg Pet Space and into adoptable homes, the more animals we can go to our partner shelters and pull and save. So I think that's always going to be the paramount thing is adoption.
Right.
It is safety component right now. I mean, if you are a pet owner, of course, you know, we ask you to make sure that your pet is microchipped and that it has a tag so that if your pet gets out or lost, that it's able to be returned to you and that it doesn't wind up in the shelter, contributing to the problem that we're having. So those are probably the two most important things. And spay and neuter. Get your pet spay and neutered. Contribute resources to spay and neuter programs and help your neighbors get their pets to spay and neuter programs if they're not altered, those sorts of things.
And have them tagged. I know that, you know, when I adopted Kitty, she came home with a tag. So she's an indoor cat. So, that's just my lifestyle with her. But, you know, there's been a neighborhood cat that I've been feeding for the last 10 years. She's also was neutered. You know, her ear is clipped, you know, on the one side. She's a calico. And somebody found her underneath their house, and she had a bunch of kittens, and they adopted out the kittens. And she just kind of goes, she's an outdoor cat. She lives on one of my neighbors. But she'll come by my house every now and then. And it was like 10 years ago when I first started seeing her, because cats can live for a really long time, can't they? Because, this is not my first cat. What's the average length of a cat's life about?
Well, that's a good question. I think when they're in, you know, in our homes, they often live a lot longer. You know, they can live from 12 mm-hmm. to 20 years out in the, mm-hmm. out in, when they're a community cat or they're in, you know, like a homeless cat, they might have a shorter lifespan. But I still appreciate taking care of a local cat yourself. I also have a cat that was TNR'd, and that is one would consider it a feral cat, but I consider it a community cat. And I love her so much. And she has everything she needs in my backyard, and she doesn't really want me to, like, hang out with her all that much. But there's so many different ways to love an animal, you know. It can live with you. It can live outside, you know, and we all do our best to make sure that they have everything that we can give them.
Absolutely. So you've been doing this a while. When you think about some of just your accomplishments with Pet Space, because we have just another few moments, I was wondering, is there some – I put my hand over my heart when I ask you this. Do you have like a proud moment that just like, oh man, this was just the best? Do you have that you could share with us?
To be completely honest, the proudest thing to me about Pet Space is the people who work here. The team at Pet Space are the most magnificent, wonderful, dedicated people that I know. And every day when I go to work and interact with them, I feel so proud to be a part of the work that they do and to be able to be considered their leader. But really, we're just colleagues. We all work together to do the same job. And every single thing that they do is important and essential. That is my number one prideful thing about the work, is definitely the staff. I'm so pleased to work for, of course, in honor of Wallace's vision, being able to carry out as best to my as I can the vision that Wallace has for Pet Space is extremely important to me. But I think also increasing the numbers of pets that we take in from our partners, almost tripling it over the past 3 years, is something I'm very proud of, because I look at that as that many more lives saved in our community, and being able to do spay and neuter for our partners and that sort of thing means a lot to me, but none of it would be possible without the team that works here.
Well, and you know, it like any organization, let me rephrase that by saying any successful organization, it's the teamwork that makes the dream work.
Yeah.
You know, it's true though. It's true, Gabrielle, that you can't just have one person at the top and have it just work perfectly. If there's not a team involved, if there's not a dedicated staff, whether it's that person at the front desk, it could be the person in your gift shop. I mean, you have a lovely gift shop inside Annenberg. You know, there's a lot of different people associated with your organization, and I think that there's a lot to be said for what it is you offer, and whether it's cohorts and or academies, or even just field trips. I was walking by there one day, and it was like there was a bunch of kids on the outside, and it looked like they must have been there on some kind of a field trip from their school. Do you have kids come from the local schools to visit you?
We do. We have field trips on a pretty regular basis, and as I said earlier, we have these great scout troops that come in and learn so much
right.
about the human bond while they're here, and we're growing our youth programming. So looking into 2025, I think we'll have some more opportunities that will be on our website for the youth of our community. It's very important to Wallace and to everyone who's here at Pet Space.
Well, I just want to thank you for taking the time with me today on such a personal level on this 10th birthday of my Miss Kitty, as she's
yes.
staring at me. You know,
oh my
maybe
God.
I maybe I'll put a candle in her kibble. No, I'm kidding. But you know, it's been a pleasure getting to know more about you and just sharing what it is that you do that brings you so much joy. And on another side note, I know that Chris said, you know, she'll be listening later to the show, and I'm sure she will be very touched at the kind things that you said about her, and that was very, very thoughtful of you as well. So thank you. I'll look forward to seeing you and dropping by. I know that you're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, so let people know that. Although your grooming place is open on those 2 days, I noticed. But for people that are local and can come by and visit, I just can't think of a better place to come and visit. You don't have to walk out with an adoption, but you can certainly come in and feel the love. It's just phenomenal. So thank you,
thank you so very much.
Thank
you for adopting, and thank you for being such a great partner to Pet Space. We really appreciate you.
You're very welcome. All right, everybody. So you know what you need to do. Go find that animal and bring it home. Okay, everybody. Thanks so much. And once again, thanks so much for joining me today. Bye for now, everyone.
Have you Googled yourself lately? Are there negative posts from an ex-employee or from a former client? Maybe an outdated news article? Search engines don't always get it right. For right or wrong, it's your reputation on the line. That's where Reputation Defender by Norton comes in. Take control with Reputation Defender. Their cutting-edge approaches help you to wipe away unwanted information in your search results. They also promote the good stuff. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at ReputationDefender.com or call 800-811-4975 to speak to an expert.